Hour number two, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. We just heard from Mike Vrabel as he addressed the media for the first time at training camp. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. We're talking from the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We're expected to be hearing from DeAndre Hopkins when he takes the podium here very shortly. D-Mace, anything jump out at you? I didn't think there was any controversy or anything like that. A lot of questions about how they will use DeAndre Hopkins. He admitted they're going to have a plan every day, but there will be some days where he's not out there, but he tried to, Mike Vrabel did, normalize that as much as he could.
Yeah, he wanted to get ahead of it because, you know, the sort of rap, the knock on him is he's not particularly a guy that enjoys practicing. So how do you sort of, you know, get ahead of it? You say, well, there are going to be some days where, you know, he practices and he doesn't. And Vrabel's yeah. right with that.
Yep. Okay. And know. I think Derek DeAndre is at the podium. So let's go ahead and hear from DeAndre Hopkins himself. Let's go to it.
You'd mentioned the relationship that Vrabel's kind of maintained over the years. How much does that mean? I mean, you know, you've been in Houston, he comes here, you go to Arizona. When you have that kind of connection with a coach, how much can that maybe help with just the familiarity when you're changing situations?
Oh, that helps a lot, especially someone in my situation going to year 11. I wanted to be somewhere around people that I'm comfortable with. Vrabel now. You know, we've always kept communication over the years. When I first got to Arizona, he was one of the first coaches to congratulate me and was one of the first coaches to criticize a bad game that I had as well that wasn't my coach, and that's what I respect about Vrabel.
Like, texted you to talk about that game?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What the criticism was?
He asked me why I didn't catch a ball that I should have caught.
Was that your first reaction? You appreciated it, or did it take a while to
win? No, I appreciate that right away because that's how he was in Houston with me.
At 31 years old, what is it about your game that you feel will allow you to continue to play at a high level?
My IQ, the way I play the game, the pace I play the game, obviously. The way I started last season as well, you know, my first couple games in Arizona.
Have you started to use any, like, different training as you, you know, matured?
Yeah, absolutely, I have. I really, last year was the first year that I kind of started a certain kind of training at Exos, speed training with this guy named Nick. I never ran track, so it was my first really track experience and speed training. And this was the first off season I would say I had a full off season to kind of go out and do that kind of training.
Have you gotten into the Titans playbook in these last couple of weeks, and how similar is it to what you guys did in Houston?
Well, I haven't been able to, you know, dive too deep that I just signed.
Obviously, you still want to be a very productive player in your own right, but when you look at the other guys in the receiver room, you see guys like Burks and Phillips and McMath who don't have a big history of production. They're still young guys. How do you approach that?
I approach that as a challenge to help those guys. Obviously, you know, I had someone like Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, kind of showed me the way, so I approach it as a challenge to help those guys get to where they want to get to. And obviously, it's about the team. So, you know, whatever I can do to help those guys on and off the field, that's what I'll do.
Give any consideration.
Off the top, you mentioned how Mike and Rand have assembled a competitive team. But on the outside, a lot of people say this off, specifically the offense, doesn't look competitive. What makes you confident that this is an offense that can play at a high level?
I remember watching last year's game when Josh Dobbs came in and they almost won the game. So, you know, that right there, you know, woke my eyes up to, you know, how these guys play and the pace they play at and how competitive they can be, you know, with the right people on the team. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys seen the same game that I seen. You know, they were in a lot of games. And before a lot of people got hurt, I've always kept up with Vrabel and the Titans, and Derrick Henry's one of my friends, so I try to watch all the games that he's played. So I think last year when Josh came in and those guys were very close to, you know, still winning, that right there kind of woke my eyes up to see that they're only a couple pieces away from where they want to be.
What's your relationship with Tim Kelly like from having worked with him, and how much you think you can pick up on where he left off in 2019?
I think we can leave off on, you know, kind of, you know, well, I think we can start where we left off. Obviously, Tim, you know, he wasn't calling a lot of plays when I was there, but he was still somewhat part of the offense. And Tim knows he knows me. He knows where I play. I know Tim very well. I remember when he was, you know, just a GM running errands, and you know, he's came a long way. Put a lot of work in, and he's very passionate about what he do, and so am I.
Relationship with Charles London, DeAndre. Do you have much of a relationship with Charles London while you're in Houston, and might that help since he's a passing game?
Yeah, I did. All those guys here that are in Houston, you know, have a relationship with all of them. Love Charles. You know, great coach, and you know, just a great person in general as well.
Tim put you in the slot a lot more than you had been before. How much did that open up your game even in new ways, and how much you're looking forward to that kind of game here?
From what I remember, I think when I was in the slot, you know, you can go back and fact check me, but I might have been, you know, like top five productive slot receiver at the time. And that was my first year being in the slot. So obviously Tim knew how to call plays, and, you know, it worked. We were very productive. You know, we were, you know, couple games away from getting to where we wanted to get to. So I think that helps a lot, not just having me outside where teams can kind of, you know, double me or just, you know, take me out the game at one position, but move me around. Not just, you know, it doesn't help myself, but the offense as well.
So many quarterbacks in your career. What has been the key for you in being able to develop that relationship with them that you need to have to be productive?
Off the field, not just on the field. You know, speaking to those guys, hanging out with them, doing the little things. I played with, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, and that's one thing that I've realized that helps: extra communication, doing the little things that you don't see on the practice field, and going over things in the film room, trying to be perfect. All quarterbacks are different, but at the same time, you know, they're very similar. So, you know, just trying to find certain things that they like and being on the same page with them.
What was your visit with Ryan like in that regard when you came in, and how much are you looking forward to working with him?
Ryan came, him and his wife, they came and you know, met me and Rand when we were out. So that said a lot about him right there. You know, just wanting to come in and talk to me, hang out with me. We kicked it off right away.
Tweet DeAndre about the haters and the doubters and so forth. Do you carry a little motivation in here? You know, about people who might think you're getting up in years, that kind of thing?
Nah, not really. I really don't pay too much attention to those people. You know, people who doubt and are negative. Of course, you know, you're going to have those, you know, those quotes and comments, or especially when you don't go to the organization that most of those people are coming from.
What's your level of belief with Tannehill as the quarterback that he can lead this team and you to winning?
What do I believe?
Your level of belief that he can lead the team to winning.
1 out of 10, I think it's a 10.
What do you think of him as a quarterback?
I think he's a great quarterback.
What's been your key to sustained success over the 10 years, DeAndre? You got more catches than anyone in the league in the last 10 years.
Ooh, if I could, you know, that's a lot. But I would say being on the same page with my quarterback. I can't go out and throw the ball to myself. Being patient, not having the ego, putting in the extra work. As much as people say, you know, I don't practice, I don't think you can have those kind of numbers without practicing. So it's doing not just, you know, the things you guys see, but also, like I said, outside of the football field, being on the same page and being reliable.
When you were here a month ago visiting with everyone, when you left those meetings, did you kind of figure that this would be a place you'd wind up, or where were you staying in your mind when you left here a month ago?
Felt great. Rand did a great job. Vrabel as well, showing me around, showing me the facilities, showing me how they do things here. I felt good about leaving, and obviously it had something to do with my decision as well.
You and JJ a couple of years ago posted some pictures of yourself in those Oilers uniforms and talked about how sweet they were. People in Houston really struggling with them being rolled out now. How much you like them, and do you understand people down there struggling with the idea of this team wearing them?
Do I understand it? I'm not from Houston. I'm from South Carolina, so I really don't understand much about that. I just go out and, you know, do what I'm supposed to do, and that's play football.
You looking forward to wearing this? How good are you going to look in that?
how good. Hopefully we win in it. I think we will. So, you know, I think that's going to help wearing those jerseys. It'll look better if we win.
You've been through this problem.
Excuse me, what were you saying?
Did you have a question?
No, you go ahead, Joe.
You mentioned your relationship with Derrick Henry earlier. How would you kind of describe that relationship? And also, how much did he maybe play a factor in you coming here?
Derrick played a big factor in me coming here. I always wanted to be part of an offense that had a great run game. I know that helps my job, and I know that's going to help his job having someone like me out there. I think, obviously, play with Arian Foster. I play with some great running backs, but Derrick Henry is definitely by far one of the best running backs that I would be able to have a chance to play with, and I think that not just help us but the team as well. So, you know, Derrick Henry being here played a very big part of me coming here.
The value of running backs is something that seems to be in dispute here as of late. How important are they from your standpoint as somebody who's obviously operating a high level in passing game?
You know, without a great running back, or without a good running back, I shall say, you know, the pass game is very hard to, you know, to establish. Play a lot of football, you got to establish the run first. I think those guys are very important to the game of football. And obviously I see what's going on. Not a fan of it. But, you know, that's out of my decision. The only thing I can go out there and do is, you know, my job. But having a good running back on the team, it definitely helps, you know, win games for sure.
Like in joining a new team, learning new teammates, coaches, the city, the playbook, and how you feel now, just a day or so in?
I feel great. I feel like I've already been here. A lot of these guys on the team made me feel very comfortable, you know, and embraced me. So having this be, you know, the third team I'm on, it's you know, it's normal. It's part of the game. It's part of the job. You know, so I tell a lot of young guys, you know, never get settled in one place or, you know, feel like this is the only place, but, you know, be ready to move. And, you know, you gotta adjust. It's the game of football.
Going into year 11, given what you've accomplished, what's driving you now as you're doing a 13?
The same drive I always had coming from where I come from, you know, coming from poverty, man, you know. That's, you know, it's a drive that sticks with you no matter where you go in life, no matter what job you have.
You said something, you made a crack there about not practicing. Is that overblown? You know, take Veterans Day off, just like.
Of course, that's overblown. I think that started in Houston. You know, when they were trying to, you know, whatever. But of course, yeah.
Trey Lynn talked to him about you being the guy he watched growing up. Mm-hmm. How much can you show him, and have you been a teacher player in your career?
Oh, of course. I think if you guys go back and see how productive Will Fuller was when he came to Houston, and other receivers as well, you know, Arizona, I think, you know, the same for some of those young receivers who came there. You know, I helped those guys out a lot, make their job easier, obviously. You know, me being who I am and defense is focusing on me, I think that helps not just myself but tight ends as well. So Traylon is a guy, obviously, I think he has a lot of potential, and I think he's going to show that this year.
When you came on your visit here, a lot of Titans fans liked your post when you said Nashville's a vibe. So why is Nashville a vibe? Why do you like this city?
Did I post that?
Instagram.
I did?
Yeah.
The other guy said it was a vibe.
Somebody said it was
a vibe. Oh, no, I never said that. But now Nashville is a good place, though, man. I love Nashville ever since I came here. My first visit coming here was when I was in college. Jamie Harper was the running back, and he invited a couple of his fellow teammates from Clemson here and showed us around, and I thought Nashville was a cool city then. And, you know, full circle, I'm here now. But I've always respected the city of Nashville and the Titans organization. You guys go hard. I love playing against them when I was in Houston and Arizona. And, you know, definitely love seeing the Clemson jerseys every time I've came here as well. So I feel like Nashville has supported me, not just, you know, the Titans fans, but, you know, the city in general.
As a Tennessee Titan, very, very interesting stuff in there. I did get to all the issues that people have had questions about as the free agency process was going on before signing here. So D-Mace and I have been taking some notes mentally. I've got some things down here as well. We've also got Tim Hasselbeck coming up for his analysis. So we're going to bring that up right around the corner. So a lot of great football talk opening day of training camp. You're on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. We're back here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Just heard from from DeAndre Hopkins, his first press conference as a member of the Tennessee Titans. Just officially signed yesterday. Times up very well with our weekly visit with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. So a lot to unpack and delve into with some of the comments from DeAndre Hopkins. And Tim, let's start with the one that you have discussed with us throughout, and that is the relationship between a receiver coming to a new team, how the process works, all of the different things. There is some familiarity, and there's no question that his respect for Mike Vrabel definitely played a big part in him being interested in coming to Tennessee.
Yeah, I think for most players, like, the relationship matters, and working with somebody in the past can impact that. And I think that it's easily fair to say that many players, and I think some of it has to do with his playing career, but like many players have a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel, how he coaches, how he communicates with players. And so I think that that reputation does help a team as they're trying to sign somebody. And then, you know, in terms of the relationship with, you know, a quarterback. So here we are in, you know, late July. You know, you don't have a ton of time, but there is time to start to get together. Guys will do it on their own, I'm sure, when they can. There'll be time spent after practice, and you just kind of hope that, you know, a new receiver and a quarterback that's been here will start to, you know, kind of see things the same way. So, I think that that's you know, it's kind of the spot that the Titans are in, and it's a really important one as you look at signing a receiver that probably projects to be, their top receiver this season.
He certainly sounded very confident that he could be a top receiver this year. And to take it a step further, something we heard from DeAndre Hopkins, Tim, he said when he came to Nashville, he was impressed. He was asked about the relationship with Tannehill building that. He said it starts off the field, and he made note that Tannehill and his wife met him, and they spent some time together during the, I guess let's call it the recruiting trip. But yeah, you could tell that he emphasized that. He thought that was important, making the extra effort to come out and try to start forming that bond.
Listen, I don't think there's any doubt that that's the case. And I think that, you know, whether it's, you know, Ryan or anyone else, it's one of the reasons why when people talk about, like, all right, hey, this guy's the quarterback here, but where does he live? Like, where does he spend the majority of his time? And, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, Drew Brees spent every second of the offseason in New Orleans, because he didn't. You know, he'd be in San Diego. But when you can be around and be visible, it helps. It helps clearly with the perception, but it also helps with, hey, someone's coming in town, could you come over? Or just how invested it feels for the fan base. So, I think it's important that Ryan was around and in town, and, you know, the fact that, you know, a player comes in, it's like, oh, wait, so the quarterback, you know, he didn't have to be here. No one can make him be here, came over and made it a priority. Like, that should matter. It sounds like it did.
And we're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, now that everything has been sort of settled, you know, with the roster as we sit now things can change, and they will change throughout training camp. Where does this realistically at this point put the Tennessee Titans?
I mean, look, as you look at the AFC, look, I don't think it puts them in the top tier of the AFC. I mean, like, listen, would we agree that Kansas City and probably, you know, the Chargers probably have a better roster? You know, would we, you know, say that Cincinnati, maybe Baltimore have a better roster? Do we think that Miami and Buffalo, New York Jets have better rosters? So, you know, I do believe that, like, if you just were to look at it and say, all right, you know, personnel execs around the league, you know, you can start picking players, you know, from these teams. Look, I don't think that the Titans would be considered a top-tier team. You know, I don't, wherever we kind of set the, you know, the tier lines. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a successful season, you're not going to make the playoffs. Look, Cleveland had a super talented football team, and they haven't won as much as they would have liked to win. So, you know, like, so to answer your question, D-Mace, like, do I think they're one of the five most talented teams just by going up and down their roster? No, I don't. But I think they've got a good coach. I think they've got a good quarterback. I think the defense plays really hard. I think they've got good leadership. I think they have a chance.
Now, do you still think it's all predicated on how well the offensive line gels? Mm-hmm. I think they will be much better than they were last year, just because of the experience of, you know, Nicholas, though he's gone for six games, and the experience of some of these other younger guys. But do you think it's all basically it's going to boil down to whether the offensive line is as good as they – well, is better than they were last season?
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as, you know, we talk about quarterbacks and receivers and all of that stuff, and it's just – I fall into the trap as well. Like, when you win up front, like, everyone else is better. And look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, that was a dominant offensive line. And really, they were excellent on, you know, both offense and defensive line. You know, you go back to like when the Rams were really rolling. Look, they were playing well up front on both sides of the ball. So, like, do I think they can be better? Yeah, I feel like the Titans have really struggled with just people being consistently healthy and available. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think if you get to a point where you know you're starting the same five guys on a consistent basis, even if it's guys that are inexperienced and you know, kind of learning on the fly, I think you're better off with that than you are with, hey, this guy might be okay. You know, this guy's on the pup for, you know, a little bit. This guy, you know, is out for a few weeks. We signed somebody off the practice squad, added somebody off the street. I think when you're doing that, it's nearly impossible to be good up front.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, do you have time to stick with us for a couple more minutes after on the other side?
Yeah, hey, only because D Mace is there today, Willie. Like, you know, I figured summertime, right before camp, I figured he'd be out. But since he's in, I'm in.
Okay, okay. So hey, the extra effort by D Mace was the game. It's not. It wasn't like, well, if it was just Willie asking, I wouldn't do it. No. But because D Mace is there, so it's more about
Caroline,
D Mace's extra.
Caroline, yeah, like Caroline out was like, I don't know that I will, but like D Mace is there. You know what I mean?
Yes, I see. I see, because it all came into question when Caroline was out.
Yeah, I'm going to get my share of you at like baseball fields and turkey trots. Stuff. So, like,
I see. Okay, I'm not offended. I'll get over it. It's okay.
So Willie's
Tim
a team
Hasselbeck
player.
Will stick with us for some bonus time on the other side here. Opening day of Titans training camp. DeAndre Hopkins taking the podium. Lots of Titans issues to delve into. It is game on. Stay tuned. More with Tim in a moment here on 102.5 The Game. Get you sexy, huh?
Back at you, Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace. We got Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, on the phone with us. Now, Tim, Saquon Barkley end up signing his one-year deal. Not a franchise tag, but just a contract for a one-year guaranteed $11 million. I think he gets $1 million incentives. Was that the right move for him? And if it was, do you think he was backed in a corner or he had no other moves in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this feels to me anyhow like, you know, the team wanting to, you know, do whatever they could to make the player happy at the same time, like, not going just wildly outside of what the market is dictating, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want to sign the – it didn't sound like he was going to report maybe on the tag. And so it's like, hey, what if we do something that's better for you when you know that we actually don't even have to? You know, what if we do that? Then will you, you know, come and be happy and that type of thing? I mean, that's what this situation feels like to me, which, look, I think is what good organizations do, right? Like, you don't get run by the player that says, like, hey, I'm not showing up if you don't, you know, reset the market with this contract that you give me, when no one else would give me that contract. But you find a way to say, all right, we get that you're not thrilled about this, but, like, you know, we're also not going to do bad business. So, like, how can we meet somewhere to, you know, to make this a little less painful for you? And that's what I feel like the Giants did, and I think that's what good organizations do.
Now, what does this mean for a guy like Jacobs, who left Las Vegas, said he wasn't going to report anytime soon, but that was before Saquon had signed. Now that Saquon has signed, it sort of puts Jacob on his island by himself, in a sense.
Yeah, which, and you know this, D-Mace, a lot of times why guys won't do deals that, you know, aren't necessarily amazing, you know, deals, because they don't want to look around at their peers and have them be like, hey, man, like, why'd you do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why'd you sign a deal that wasn't a great deal? Look, I think what this does is, look, I think it at least sets expectations for some of these backs of, like, what is realistic, you know, and what is potentially out there for you. And, look, if I were Josh Jacobs, rather than, you know, threatening to hold out or you know, not show up and get fined and all those things, I would use what Saquon did as a roadmap. Listen, like do right by me. Like, I'll be there, but, like, let's – don't tag me. And, like, let's do a one-year deal like his deal. Like, you know, I think you try to – you know, you try to do that. Otherwise, you know, your best move is to just play on the tag and then figure it out a year from now. I mean, that just ultimately is your best move as a running back.
Now, does that mean in this situation, because we don't know the particulars or the language of Saquon Barkley's contract, but it still doesn't exclude him from possibly being franchised again next year. So how do you, as a running back, how do you sort of reconcile all of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's just the situation that you're in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you realize that. That's why when guys are holding out and I'm like, well, wait a second, like, the team can tag you. And then, I mean, honestly, if, like, the running back number keeps going down, mm-hmm. right, if guys aren't getting, you know, these big deals, then they just tag you again. So, I mean, look, I just think it's the nature of the business. I don't know that anything's going to change about it. I know we talked last week about, you know, this conference call, these guys getting together and figuring out what they can do. I mean, the reality is it is a position where wear and tear is different than other spots. And because of it, look, the money is not going to be the same. It's just because it's the long-term money. And it's why really you'd rather be a running back that doesn't get drafted in the first round. I mean, that's ultimately probably how you should end up feeling about it.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, and training camps opening up around the league. His thoughts on the running backs. Let's circle back to the Titans here. Another thing that I thought was interesting, DeAndre Hopkins did say that he has picked up some new training habits. He got a new guy to help him. Now, last year he said he was hindered some by the lingering effects of his injury, so he said he had the full off season this past season. I thought that was worth noting, because I think that's going to be important, right? When you get into your 30s, you have to really be pushing it to stay in the shape that you need to be in, to stay at the level that he's used to.
Yeah, I mean, and anyone who's watched the quarterback series on Netflix, like, you see what quarterbacks are investing in terms of taking care of themselves. And I thought Kirk Cousins is on there talking about how, look, Santana Moss, who was a receiver who was older, you know, further along in his career, you know, Kirk got to see that and say, wow, like, that's what you need to do. So yeah, I think that is a real thing, especially coming off of an injury, seeing how other guys have done it, seeing what you can do to stay healthy. And look, let's face it, like the last couple of years for Hopkins between, look, suspension and injury, because, you know, the other side of this is whatever he ended up testing positive for that led to a suspension. Like, look, you got to make sure that's not part of it as well. So, look, I think that's a good thing to hear. I've definitely seen guys extend their career or continue to play high, at a high level, and I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, how much care, effort, and quite honestly, like finances, they put into how they were taking care of their bodies.
Yeah, you have to invest in yourself. I guess that is a big part of it, without a doubt. I think that is important that he did that. So, Tim, here's another one that I thought jumped out at me. He said, the practice thing, he said, I don't think you can have the kind of numbers I've had without practicing. So he thinks that the practice reputation of, you know, not being out there all the time is overblown.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I think you just hear from guys that have played with him in the past. How does he practice? And look, some guys don't like running in practice. That's just the reality of it. Like, some guys don't love running in practice, especially as they get older. Like, D-Mace can vouch for it. Like, everybody has seen those guys. Some guys, they are that way. And look, and some guys are just really good players and have had a lot of things revolve around them. And when, you know, Sunday rolls around and the ball gets thrown in that direction, they play the football. My personal understanding with him is he's always been a great player that's done an amazing job at tracking the football. I from guys that have been around him, no one has ever said like he's Jerry Rice on practice. You know, yeah, I practiced it. Like, it's just not – look, and that's okay. Like, not everybody is, but look, I think when things don't go well and it's like, well, hey, man, like, he hasn't really been available for a Wednesday practice for four straight weeks, like, that can become a problem.
D-Mace, any final question for Tim before we let him go?
No, just go green.
Hey, go white.
There we go.
He was a little late. There was a little hitch there, D-Mace. We got to work that out, okay?
I want to know if D-Mace, like, what would people have said about D-Mace when he was, like, in his 30s at receiver? Like, we're like, man, like, he'd run a go round. He'd be the first guy back in the huddle. What would they say about D-Mace?
One thing they would say is that he always practiced, even with a broken scapula, a bad knee, a high ankle sprain. That kid was out there practicing every day.
I did hear that. I did hear that. That is fair. So, that is very fair.
So,
and it always is remarkable to me when I would come across a receiver that didn't like running. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, this is part of the job.
Exactly. We get paid to catch the ball and run. So we should be the best conditioned athletes out there.
So true.
All right. Well, Tim, great stuff. Let's have no hitches on the go green, go white next week. We're going to keep working on this. By the time football season gets cranking in September, you're going to have this down.
I'm improving. All right. See you, fellas.
All right.
Okay. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the show. We're going to get D-Mace's thoughts on some of the details of what DeAndre Hopkins said. You know, he addressed the issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what took so long? What about practice? What about relationships with Mike Vrabel? A lot to analyze, and we will do that just on the other side. Stay tuned. We're cranking it up here on the first day of training camp on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game.
You started to use any, like, different training as you know, matured?
Yeah, absolutely, I have. I really, last year was the first year that I kind of started a certain kind of training at Exos, speed training with this guy named Nick. I never ran track, so it was my first really track experience and speed training. And this was the first off season, I would say, I had a full off season to kind of go out and do that kind of training.
That's DeAndre Hopkins earlier today when he was at the podium. We played it live for you here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. So, D-Mace, what did you think with that? Did you ever do track training specifically for speed?
That's all I really did. I'm a former track runner. So I sort of grew up in a sense, not only playing football, but running track, because, you know, in high school, my track coach was the football coach. So we, it was like, you run track, which, you know, okay. it there's a lot of benefits to it. So once I got in the NFL, you know, you can't do it so much in college, especially not back then. But I'm sure with the advancements in workouts, they sort of incorporate a lot of track stuff, you know, to your football training, especially like your warm-ups and everything else. But once I started doing stuff on my own, a lot of it was, you know, track workouts, because my, you know, 200s, 100s, 400s, 300s, lateral moves. My thing was, you know, the wide receiver position, we should be the most or the well-conditioned, the best-conditioned athletes out there. Why? Because we are always running no matter what. We don't get an opportunity to take plays off. We got to be moving. Even in run plays, you got to come off the football, and then you got to run back to the ball. So if anything, wide receivers should be the best-conditioned athletes on the field in regards to, you know, running around and all the other stuff. So I incorporated that into my my workout regimen very early in my career.
Were you surprised to hear him say that he had never really done any speed or track training?
I guess yes and no, because that was never really his thing. And, you know, I'm sure he felt, you know, I'm going to work out and I'm going to do some, you know, like speed stuff, but I'm not going, that's not my, you know, my forte. That's not what I'm known for, you know, with speed. But as you start to get older, you know, you typically lose a step or two. And if you were not already considered a fast guy, then as you get older, you do need to work on, you know, that short intermediate, you know, sort of movements, those short movements in those short space quickness. I don't think he's going to be able to, you know, increase his speed from, you know, long distance speed, but I'm sure he was working a lot on his short distance speed, his quickness, getting in and out of breaks, stuff like that, that he still has an opportunity to take advantage of. His long speed is gone.
So you think it could help him? You think that could be an important thing to help him at this stage of his
career? just short area speed, quickness. I don't think he's going to be able to, unless, you know, the whole, you know, PD things, was that a part of him sort of upping his speed? But at this juncture, when you haven't been a track guy, when you haven't trained your body in that way, you can't just all of a sudden start training your body and then you increase your speed. You're 31 years old now. Bill's 21. Yes, 31. He's not going to be able to do that. So I'm sure a lot of his stuff was short area speed and quickness, because his thing is getting off the ball, setting you up at the line of scrimmage and using his quickness. And that you don't want to lose. And because if you lose that and you're not a speed guy anyway, then it's going to be very, very hard, you know, for you to consistently make plays in a football game.
What else jumped out at you from what you heard from DeAndre Hopkins? Especially, I think everybody was scribbling down on their pages or tweeting as fast as they could when he started talking about practice, mm-hmm. the reputation of missing a lot of practice being overblown.
I think that and, you know, the whole last game of the season thing, everybody that brings that up to me, I just cringe. I really cringe, because Mike Vrabel would never bring that up, because he understands how seasons change, you know, from one to the next. And for you to bring up a game, the last game of the season or in the middle of the season, I mean, it means nothing for you moving forward. It just doesn't. So I was surprised he brought that up. You know, I think, you know, him bringing up his IQ, I think that is true. You know, and I've always believed that, you know, you play a long time in this league for two reasons, you know, other than, you know, just being blessed to play that long. But two reasons. One, your availability on the field. That is first and foremost. And then two, your IQ. How well do you know the game? How well do you know your position? How well do you know defenses when they're presented to? How well or how good can you read and react, like, on the move? That's key as you start to get older. And he's right. You know, he's been able to do that not because he's the fastest guy out there or the quickest guy out there or the strongest. No, it's his ability up until last season to be available, and then his ability to know the game the way he does, other than, you know, him catching a football. We all know that. He's probably one of the greatest catchers of the football that we've seen in the last, you know, decade or two. He's one of the best. So that what he brought up, the IQ part, is true. I think it's true across the board with a lot of players.
Another thing that he really went into some detail on, and this is another thing that people had questions about, mm-hmm. when they were wondering, is this the guy that you want? Is this worth going after, trying to sign DeAndre Hopkins? Would he be a good influence on other wide receivers? And he said that he helped. He said, look at what I did for Will Fuller. He thinks he does set a good example for other receivers. He thinks that the receivers he was around in Houston would back him up on that. And he did say, I think Treylon Burks will be a guy that I can help.
I think so. I think just his being on the team, will help Treylon, just watching him when he does practice, because I do truly believe that if he is practicing, he's practicing hard. So Treylon will understand, get a better understanding of practicing hard, because, he hasn't seen that. Let me rephrase that. Not that he hasn't seen it, because I'm sure Robert Woods worked hard in practice last season. But I think a guy that has put up the numbers he's put up, watching him work, is different from watching other guys work sometimes. So I think from that standpoint, when he's on the field in practice, he's going to see how hard D-Hop works and how hard and how diligent he is about building a rapport with Ryan Tannehill, Willis, and, I'm forgetting the quarterback's name, the kid out of Kentucky.
Will Levis.
Yeah, Levis. Yeah. So he will see that. And it'll be beneficial, not just to him, but I think all of the other young wide receivers there, even Chris Moore, who isn't a young wide receiver, but he hasn't put up the numbers D-Hop has put up.
When we come back, we'll get into the final hour of our show. A lot of other things. We're going to change it up and look league-wide. We've got a couple of teams we're going to hit D-Mace up on what's going on with their camp, some of their big questions going on around the league. And we'll take your calls and texts on the Titans. What do you think? You introduced yourself, or D-Hop introducing himself to the national media for the first time, and I know a lot of you fans were paying attention as well. 615-737-1025. You're going to weigh in. Our text line brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The final hour is coming up.